had a good bit of ground we want to cover. I trust everybody had a good holiday weekend. I heard services were awesome here, and we had a good wedding weekend down in Florida, so everything went well. Let's just go ahead and dive in, and we'll get going. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. Father God, we just come to you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, to gather together, to worship you through the study of your word. I pray, Father, that you would just bless this time that we spend together, bless the connection that we have with each other, and Lord, most important, the connection that we have with you. I pray that our ears and our heart would just be anointed to hear what you would have to say to us tonight, that we would be at attention to your voice. And, Lord, just let it go deep in us and let it just design who we are, Father. We love you and we exalt you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the gift that you are to us and the gift of life that you bless us with. Lord, it's in Jesus' sweet name we ask these things. Amen, amen. All right, y'all turn to Isaiah 61. We're going to be in Isaiah 61 tonight. I'm going to continue where we were last Wednesday night. Isaiah 61. This is some awesome scripture. This is some promise scripture. I heard Chris Volaton say many times this is his life scripture, and I understand why. I think I will adopt this as mine as well. It's some of the most beautiful promises that we see in the Word of God concerning us, concerning His children. I think it gives us a insight into the heart of the Father. As we look at Him, we really see how He thinks about us, how He views us, how He desires to marry Himself to us and to grow us up and just to pour out into us. There's two words in chapter 62, which is a continuation of this promise. And I'll probably not pronounce them right, but it's Hephzibah and Beulah. And Hephzibah means my delight is in her, and Beulah means married. And that's his heart for us, is that my delight is in her. I was listening to Graham Cook preach a sermon just recently, and it's about Isaiah 61, and he was talking about the word delight and comparing that to discipline. And he said, I know an athlete from England, and he said he's from England. He said, I know an athlete from England, and he said he's a very famous athlete, said he's won an Olympic gold medal and all that. He's a runner. And he said, I was one day that there was this BBC person coming in and interviewing him and was, you know, just going on and on about how awesome how it was. He got out in the streets and he ran in the wee hours of the morning and in the rain and all of this stuff and everything. And he kept on and on about how disciplined he was. And he said, this guy, I never did call him by name, but he said, my friend was just kind of like, just stop it. He said, it's not about discipline. He said, it's about delight. He said, I love running. My delight is in running. And he said, because my delight is in running, he said, it's not a discipline thing. He said, I'm not motivated by discipline. I'm not moved by discipline. Discipline is a result of my delight. And I think the church needs to make this transition, because we come in and we've been taught our whole life, be disciplined, sin management, don't fall into the traps of the enemy. And, you know, be a good boy, good girl, do what's right and all of that stuff. And it's a discipline game. And what we've never been taught is when we fall madly in love with Him and our delight is in Him, then discipline is simply the fruit of our delight in Him. And all of these things, we look at God and He's such a, I mean, everything, it seems like it's just, you know, line upon line and it's orchestrated and all of that. But everything about Him is the fruit of His delight for us and in us. And when we get that, our view and perception of everything changes. So, I love Isaiah 61 because it is not about what I can do in Christ, but it's about what He desires to do in me. So keep that in mind. It's not about what I can do in Christ, but what He desires to do in me and through me. So with that being said, let's just dive in, read some scripture, and we're going to jump in where we left off last week. In verse 1, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." I don't want to spend a lot of time here because we spent time here last week, but I simply want to remind you that you are anointed to release kingdom into the earth. You're not anointed so your life will be better. You're not anointed so you'll have a better marriage. You're not anointed so you'll have better finances. All of these are the fruit of the anointing. But the anointing in your life is so that you can go out and you can release heaven, you can release kingdom into this earth. If you are not doing that, you're going to be frustrated and unfulfilled. The most frustrated people I know on the planet are people that do not have purpose in their life. And when I say purpose, I'm not talking about superficial purpose. I'm talking about kingdom purpose. I had a great conversation with a guy. I'd never met him before this weekend. Guy from Indiana. I had a great conversation with him this weekend, and it went deep in a hurry. And he just opened up the door, and I'm like, if you opened up a door, here we go. And it was about there was this empty and this longing in him, and he had a job, he had a career, he had a wife, he had all of these things. But I began to talk about what sets your soul on fire, and he said, "How do you even know what sets your soul on fire?" And so I begin to go in with your relationship with Christ and the purpose that comes in with your relationship with Christ and everything that God wants to do in us and through us and all of this stuff. And without that anointed purpose in our life, we're going to walk around and you're going to be the most unfilled guy on the planet. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what kind of career you have. There is going to be an empty void in you. But when you are walking in your God-ordained and God-anointed purpose of releasing kingdom and bringing change and transformation, that's when you're going to be most fulfilled. And that's apart from your economics. That's apart from your marital status and all of this stuff, guys. That's apart from your career. If you're not walking that I am anointed to release kingdom into this, that's what it's all about. It's releasing kingdom into the earth. We just got to figure out what that looks like. And what that looks like is a fruit of the relationship you have with Him. Because when you're in true relationship with Him, you know what you're releasing? His love. The fruit of the relationship that you have with Him is going to be perfect peace. Lori and I don't have to strive for peace. Peace is a fruit of our relationship. We don't have to strive for love. Love is a fruit of our relationship. So we go out there and we strive for all of these attributes of God, and in reality, they are a fruit of our relationship with God. The thing you've got to do is just tap in and go deep in your relationship, and then all of these other things are going to be the fruit of that. All right? Amen. That's simple. That's simple. But most of the world's missing the mark on that. Most of the church is missing the mark on that. Because we're coming in and we're trying to do it by the fruit of our hands. We're trying to do it by the labor and the discipline in our life. And that's not where it's at. That's not where it's at. So he comes in and he tells us, he said, all of these things are on us, and we're anointed to release kingdom into this earth. Then in verse 3 he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. This message that I was listening to by Graham Cook, and some of you guys have listened to it, the title of it is The Power of Instead. The Power of Instead. And he's talking about the instead in Isaiah 61. This word for could be the word instead. And he comes in and he talks about all of these things that God gives us in the place of. Everything that's negative in here, all of these things that are negative in life, all these things that are negative in the world, God comes in and gives us this beautiful exchange. He comes in and He replaces those things. The mourning, He gives us joy. The heaviness, He gives us lightness. The turmoil, He gives us peace. The lack of hope, He gives us hope. So He comes in and instead of these things, He gives us this. That's the things that he paid for on Calvary's cross, guys. Graham was talking about he had this dream, and he said, man, God came in. He said, I dream a lot. I don't sleep a lot, but I dream a lot. And he said, I've learned to pay attention to these dreams. And he said, God woke me up in the middle of the night, and he asked me, he said, Graham, you've been stealing from me, and I want it back. And he said, this kept on. You've been stealing from me. I want it back. You've been stealing from me. I want it back. He's like, God, what are you talking about? You know, how have I stole from you and all of this stuff? And he said, all of these things that you've been languishing in are things that I paid for on Calvary's cross. He said, all of these things, anger, I paid for it on Calvary's cross. Bitterness, I paid for it on Calvary's cross. Hurt, I paid for it on Calvary's cross. All of these things that have been tormenting you that you are carrying in your life, I paid for them on Calvary's cross, and I want them back. I want you to give them back to me, because I've purchased that, and I'm going to give you this beautiful exchange of peace and lightness and hope and joy and love and all of these things right here. And that's what he's talking about in Isaiah 61. Is that stuff's mine, and I'm giving you the exact opposite of that. That's the world, I'm giving you heaven. That's what we need to realize, is he's giving us heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not just amped up meetings. Here's what I want us to get, guys, is we think revival looks like amped up church services. I love amped up church services. I like it when it gets thick. I like it when there are, you know, all of these signs and wonders and demonstrations and all this. I love all of that stuff. But I cannot go from that to that to that to that and look for only that and say that's what revival looks like. Because you know what revival really looks like? It really looks like peace. It really looks like hope. It really looks like joy. It really looks like love. It really looks like walking in your calling. That's what revival really looks like. And he comes in and he said, I'm going to give you all these things. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Does anybody see signs and wonders in this? Do y'all see signs and wonders in verses 1 and 2? I don't. I'm not knocking signs and wonders. I like it. I like to be slain in the Holy Spirit. I like to lay hands on people and see people go out under the power of the Lord and just be under His presence, under His moving. I like all of that. But I don't hang my hat on that. What I see in verses 1, 2, and 3, what He describes and what Jesus came in when He began His public ministry, and this is the scripture that He quoted. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, and this is what He's doing in all of this stuff. And that is the essence of the kingdom of heaven being released into earth. He says, I'm going to give you all of these things. And then He comes in and He says, as I give you beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. This is what our DNA is, guys. It's peace. It's joy. It's worship. It's walking in a place of abundance. That's our DNA. He said, when they look at us, when I look at Keith Carter, when the world looks at Keith Carter, forget me. When the world looks at Keith Carter and it sees peace, it sees joy, it sees hope, it sees love, it's going to say, man, that guy's a tree of righteousness right there. Said the world's going to recognize this. I want my story to be so intriguing that the world wants to hear it. I want the story of my life to be so intriguing. I do not want my life to be beige. I don't want my life to blend in and look like everything else. I know you guys, man, y'all were in a place where the enemy, you know, man, he wants to come in and have a field day with you guys. But right now, you're adding layers to your story. This is who I am, man. This is what I went through. And man, I took some lumps. I made some mistakes. But the grace of God. And God brought me through this, and God brought me out of this. And I come out of this more glorious than ever before. Because I'm strengthened in Him. I know who I am in Him. I know who He is. And I've got this strong identity of who I am in Christ now that I didn't have before. And so that's just a chapter in your story. This weekend, we went down for Bone's wedding this weekend down in Florida, and it was good. I mean, it was a good little beach wedding. But the thing that I loved about this wedding was not the ceremony, and I've been in some where the ceremony was thick and you just felt God's presence, and it was just like, I mean, you know, I did my niece's wedding last December, not this year, but December's a year ago, and man, I mean, it just was thick. You know, I got the groomsmen and the bridesmaids to come up and lay hands on them in the middle of the ceremony. I'm like, y'all get up here and let's just lay hands on them. I mean, it was just thick presence. This one wasn't that. But the individual ministry that we had through this rocked my world. We had different occasions after the wedding, you know, and, you know, the DJ's up there play that funky music, White Boy, and all of this stuff, and everything's going on and all that. And we're sitting there individually ministering to people and just tears just streaming down their face. You know, I mean, the Lord just opened the doors up. And we just start ministering to them, and they just start spilling their guts, you know. And you know, I'm kind of like, tag, you're it, Lori. And Lori just goes with it, man, and just ministers and loves and all of this stuff. You know, and the same thing with me and Ariel, man. I mean, the Lord gave me a word for one of the young ladies that was there, man. And I'm just like, I got a word I want to share with you. Are you cool with that? And she's like, yeah. And so, man, I just start releasing word, and Mary and Ariel comes in on that. And it's just very, very powerful on a kingdom level. You know, a guy from Indiana I've never met before, man. And I mean, we just, like I said a while ago, man, we just went there. I talked to the wedding party, for about, you know, 5-10 minutes, but the day of rehearsal. And I pulled them all together. I said, guys, let me talk to y'all. I want to lay some stuff out here for y'all. And I spent 5 or 10 minutes with the wedding party. And Bones told me later on that night, all of them were in the hot tub together because they were all in one big house on the beach. They were all in the hot tub. They got talking about how strong that was, what I had spoke over them. And she said, every one of them in the hot tub, man, they start tearing up. I mean, they're not sitting around and listening to Jesus culture. But the Spirit of God so invaded and so came in and touched on individual basis. Now, there were some people who didn't even know anything was there, because some it sounds like thunder. Some it sounds like angels, and some sounds like it sounds like the word of the Lord. But that we're anointed to do that and be that in every situation, in every circumstance, in every moment. And He comes in and He said, this is what I want to do in you, and this is what I want to do through you. And I want to come in this place, and it said that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. This guy from Indiana that I never met before, he was like, yeah, man. The groom, he was the best man in the wedding. He said, groom, he told me, he said, man, this is an awesome guy. You got to listen to what he has to say. Never met him before. Who got glory from that? Me? No. Odds are I'll never see this guy again in my life. But I guarantee you something that was seen and something that was said and something was released will reverberate in him. And there'll be somebody else that'll come along and they'll release the same kingdom that I released. And who's going to get glorified from that? Father God. Father God. And as He looks for purpose in His life, as He looks for this, what sets my soul on fire, as He looks for that, you know what He's ultimately going to look to? Not me. He's going to look to Him. He's going to look to Him. And I want our lives to be so significant that the world takes notice of our story. They take notice of our story. And I want you guys to know you've got a story worth telling. You don't have to be called to preach the gospel from this viewpoint, because every one of us is called to preach. It can be from a businessman. You know one thing that blows my mind, and Brett will attest to this. When we go and we do the motorcycle rallies, you know what people are intrigued by and what people want to hear? They want to hear our story. They want to hear the story about what does KST stand for and who is KST. And do y'all work for them, or are y'all KST? I love Brett and Rhett's response. I just sit back and just listen and all that stuff. Man, I just so dig it. And they're like, yeah, that's us. We are KST. Y'all own this company? Yeah, right? You look, these guys that are sweating their rear ends off, you wring sweat out of their drawers at the end of the day. Yeah, we're the guys that own this company. They want to hear the story. They're intrigued by it. Robin, they want to hear your story. You're a businesswoman. You're an entrepreneur. And I know that doesn't define you, but that's part of your story. And it opens up a door. And it gives you a platform that they will hear what you have to say. The fact that you spent years flying over in Afghanistan and you were embedded with special forces, Paul, that gives you a platform that immediately people want to hear what you have to say. That immediately makes you interesting. I'm to the point, people got tattoos, I ask them about their tattoos. I think every tattoo has a story. Or else why would you put that on your arm? Or your body somewhere? So I'm like, man, tell me about your tattoo. You know, Lori's like, really? I want to know the story behind it. Because that opens up the door to the story of your life. Tell me the significance of that. Tell me the significance. That's the thing I like about Brett's tattoos. Brett's got all these intricate tattoos all over his arm and all that. Every one of them tells a story. The names of their kids tell a story. Everything about our life tells a story. And in these promises, here's the thing, guys, intertwined in these promises from God, this isn't just about, whoa, man, I'm going to make a lot of money and I'm going to do good and I'm going to be successful in life and I'm going to have all these pleasures in life. But intertwined in all the midst of that is I've anointed you for a reason. Number one, because I'm crazy about you. I am crazy about you. I am awestruck by you. God made Adam in the garden and he said, this is awesome, but it's not enough. Let me make another one. And then says, y'all be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I'm so amazed by this one. Give me more. Give me more. Give me Eve. Then give me Abel. Give me seed. Give me Abraham. You see that? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. God's this ultimate gardener, and He comes in and He wants to plant you so you can be fruitful, and so you can grow, and so you can reproduce, so you can change the whole ecosystem. That's what our job is, guys, is to change the ecosystem of this planet. And we do that spiritually, we do it economically, we do it family. We do it in every one of these areas, these 10 major areas. That our life is divided up into. As I'm to go out and I'm to change all of this, you know why? Because I'm the planting of the Lord. I am unique because I'm His. I'm His delight. Was that Hephzibah? My delight is in her. That's the whole root of my story. That's the whole root of my story. As I'm His, I'm chosen by Him. His kiss is on my life. At the end of the day, you know what you can put on my tombstone, Keith? If y'all put anything, man, you can put this, 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 and this. But at the end of the day, y'all can put God's kiss was on Him. I hope my life reflects that. That's the whole goal in my life. I don't want to be a faithful servant. I want to be a loved bride. I want to be adorned with His favor. I want to be adorned with His kiss. I want my countenance and my life's countenance. Let's coin that phrase. Not just your countenance, but your life's countenance. Your life's countenance. What's the countenance of your life? What's the countenance of everything you put your hand to? What's the countenance of your business? What's the countenance of your relationships? Y'all know what I'm talking about in that? Y'all ever seen an ugly bride? I've not. I've done a lot of weddings. I've done way over 100 weddings. I've never seen an ugly bride. Now, the month before that, now, and she may not be a pretty girl, but I've never seen an ugly bride. Just saying, Ariel was like, geez, come on, there you go. You know why? Because every bride that I've ever married, their countenance has radiated. Their countenance. It reflected something. And every Christian that I've ever known that was truly in love with Him and realized that they were beloved by Him, their countenance reflected that. And that could be a withered up old saint that was at the end of the run, or that could be a 4-year-old that was just beginning to grasp God's goodness in their life. We had a deep theological conversation on the way to church. Zealand and Caroline were back and forth just a little bit, not bad, just a little bit. And we're like, y'all be nice, y'all be kind. See, y'all are family. I'm like, you can't count on family. Who can you count on? And Zealand said, God. You got me there, buddy. I know He trumps family every time. But kingdom family follows right in there with that. It's intertwined with that. So He comes in and He said this, so that you might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. Why? So that you'll be glorified? That He might be glorified. God is glorified when the countenance of my life is right. God is glorified when the countenance of my life is pure. God is glorified when I am planted of Him and I'm flourishing in that planting. Verse 4, I won't spend much time here because we spent a good bit of time here last week. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I said last week, I believe what God is doing is God is pouring out His Spirit on family right now. I believe the anointing is being poured out on family right now more than anything. And I'm not talking about just physical family. I'm talking about spiritual family. A lot of times that looks like physical. And it is physical. It is biological. But at the end of the day, it's kingdom. Our family dynamic would not be anything like it is if it were not for the kingdom aspect of it. I could be a good physical father, I could be a good earthly father, but it would not carry the weight. It would not have the momentum, it would not have the depth of the wave unless it was a kingdom thing. And He comes in and He said, I am going to pour into all of these places. I'm going to pour into all of these places and I'm going to rebuild things that society has destroyed. I'm going to rebuild things that society has destroyed. I believe God's going to pour in us a love for Him. I believe God's going to pour in us a love for each other. I believe God's going to pour in us and anoint a connection with each other. I believe we're going to enjoy doing life together. We're going to enjoy kingdom life. I believe our delight is going to be in those things. I was at the beach Friday night doing the rehearsal dinner. And I was out there on the deck, and they had a house rented on the beach. And I was looking at the most fantastic sunset. I told Lori, I said, come here, man, you got to look at this. She said, man, we're about to pray. I said, I know. Come here, look at this. Because we're about to pray for the meal. It wasn't like we were all going in prayer together. We were just blessing the food. And I said, you've got to see this. But you know what? I was on the tractor yesterday evening, and I was cutting one of my fields, and I saw just as spectacular a sunset. And I wasn't in Seaside, Florida. I wasn't sitting on 38. I was sitting in Corinth. What I'm saying is I don't have to travel to find His beauty. I don't have to travel to find His kiss. I don't have to go to glorious places. I create glorious places wherever I'm at. Because I'm there. And because He's there. One thing she's always said, she said, I don't care what we're doing, and I don't care where we go as long as I'm with you. I know I've got her heart when she says that and means that. And I know I've got her heart when that is truly her whole being. So I don't care what we're doing as long as I'm with you. I don't care where we're at as long as I'm with you. And when we come in and our delight's in Him and His delight's in us, then we come in and we create. I heard Brother Damon talk about this not too long ago, and it was really, really powerful. He said, all of you guys are in such a hurry to get out of the wilderness. And he said, how about creating a garden in the wilderness by your planting there? And he was in some scripture in Ezekiel. Maybe Ezekiel 51, does that sound right, Paul? Something like that, 31, 51, I don't remember the exact scripture. But it was talking about how the wilderness was desolate, but it became a fertile garden. And the river began to flow out of it. And this is the promise for Isaiah 61, guys. It's not that God's going to transplant us to these glorious places, but through us these places will become glorious. Y'all get the difference in that? We all want God to transplant us to these glorious places. Quit yearning and saying, man, I wish I was at Bethel, or I wish I was at Passion City, or I wish I was here or here or here. And make this place where God's planted you, make it that blessed place. Make it that blessed place. Make Corinth the most awesome place. Bozeman, Montana has nothing on Corinth if the presence of God is permeating out of Corinth. If my assignment's there. If my assignment's in Bozeman, I need to be in Bozeman. Down here in chapter 62, he starts talking about marrying ourselves to the land. That's where the scriptural reference to marrying, that ain't something that I made up or Rick Pino made up or Damon made up or anybody else made up. He said, when we marry ourselves to it, and He marries Himself to us into the place where He's planted us. I tell you, as I'm a farmer. I grew up a farmer. I've been a farmer my whole life. And when you come in and you plant something, and it doesn't matter if it's a food plot for deer or if it's corn or whatever, when you plant something, you plant it with a tenderness. You plant it with a nourishment to where this thing is going to succeed. And I'm going to prepare the ground, and I'm going to put it in there, and I'm going to gently cover it, and I'm going to do everything that it takes for this thing to have a chance to grow and flourish. And why do we think that we have that nurturing care as human beings and Father God does it? And He said, I'm going to plant you and I'm going to flourish you. I'm going to plant you and I'm going to flourish you. All right, verse 5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Man, we just got to kind of take that for what it is, don't we? God spoiled Egypt for the children of Israel when they left to go to the promised land. What do y'all think they built the Ark of the Covenant out of? They were slaves, but they built this stuff out of gold. The riches of the world. Quit thinking and having the poverty mindset as a Christian that I just want to be humble and meek and just give me a cabin on the backside of glory. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be able to drill wells in Africa and pay for them. As a church, I want to be able to send Jeff Vaughn in a blessed place. I want to be able to fill 6 tractor trailer loads. Isn't that the goal this year, Jeffrey? 6? I want to be able to fill 6 tractor trailer loads full of boxes of food to feed the hungry. I want to be able to go in and touch and meet every need that is in front of us. We all say, man, I just want to be like the first century church. So do I. But you know what the first century church did? They had houses to sell. They had lands to sell. They had all of these things that they could come in and meet everybody's need with. It takes stuff to do that. I'm not saying let that just be your driving force. Ooh, I want to be rich because I want to be like, what are you fill in the blank? But I think we should shape culture. Why are the brightest minds guys like Steve Jobs? Guy's brilliant. Was brilliant. Brilliant mind. And we want to come in and we want to be like, why is the guy from Patagonia having a bigger impact on the planet than Spirit-filled Christians, Brett? Because all we want to do is just come in and have church. My gosh, God built us for more than that. I love church. But this isn't it. This is simply a place where we come in and my God bounces off your God. My faith bounces off your faith. And it's a catalyst and it's us doing life together so that we can go out there and we can redeem the planet.
And it's physical. But in verse 4, and it said, and they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities. That's spiritually too. That's like this young woman that we talked to at the wedding. We knew her from our first church. She was a very young girl then, very young, like maybe 4th, 5th, 6th grade in there. And she just started spilling the lies that she still believed to this day, that she was raised by her grandmother and just had a beautiful sister and that she was never wanted. And, you know, she said, I went to church, I'd raise my hand. And her grandmother told her she couldn't raise her hand and worship God because she had not minded her that week. And so she believed that she had to be perfect before she could come to God and worship Him. And we started breaking down and raising up and saying, this is a lie. This is a lie. And she just, you could see the ramifications in her life. She's got a marriage and she said, no, my husband. But anyway, you could just see the waste in her life because of the lies of the enemy that had tried to tear her apart. And that is where we come in and we raise up those places. We tear down those lies. We tear down that destruction that the enemy tries to bring into our brothers and sisters around us. And that is whoever is in before us today. I've reached out to her already today. I plan to meet with her in the next few weeks because she lives here. But I didn't get to see her until I was in a realm of influence in Florida. You know, but that's what we're called to do, is to build that up and to tear down those lies with our lives and with our words. It's not just, it is physical. I do want to rebuild all this stuff, but we got to rebuild lives. Rebuild those lives too.
We saw firsthand as we were out in Montana. This year we flew out a few days early before the Sturgis rally started, you know, so I could fly fish a little bit, I ain't going to lie. But we flew into Montana and to Bozeman, and then after we were there for 3 days, we drove across the state to Sturgis. In the eastern part of the United States, we drove through two of the Indian reservations. And we gave them the crappiest land that was unfarmable. Couldn't even herd cattle or anything like that on it. No industry or anything like that. And you drove through and you could feel the oppressive spirit. It was a wasteland, wasn't it, Lori? There was nowhere to eat. I mean, even fast food. I mean, no, you know, we would have been jumping for, I don't like McDonald's, but we would have been jumping for joys to see the Golden Arches. It's the first time I've ever drove through there. And it was the Crow Nation and maybe the Cheyenne or one of the Sioux. I think it might have been the Cheyenne. And there was absolutely nothing through there. And it was like the government had nothing to offer them. It's like, we'll give you this over here because we don't want it. And if we're not careful as the church, that's what we'll do to the world. We'll devalue them because they don't live like us, they don't look like us, they don't have the same ideals as us. And so we don't want to add value to their life because we're too busy living up our lives. I'm not talking about us being entrepreneurs and rebuilding and all of that stuff just so we can have glamorous lives. It's so we can, like Lori was talking about, so we can rebuild the lives of others. So we can impact. So we can make a difference. So we can come in and say, there's value in you. There's value in your country. I don't care what your past is. You look at a lot of these countries in the African continent. Man, they are so rich in resources, and these countries are nothing over there. And it's because of generational curses. It's because of corruption and all of these things. And what we do is we tend to come in and say, it's a lost cause. We'll sling them a little bit, a few trinkets and all, but we never really want to redeem anything. And we have to see value in all of these people and all of these things so we can redeem them. We have to see value in ourselves before we can see value in them. So he's coming in and he says, you're going to rebuild all of this. Raise up the former desolations. Repair the waste cities. The desolations of many generations. A lot of times what we're coming against, guys, is generation after generation after generation. And that stronghold doesn't get broke overnight. It may take a lifetime, Gordon. It may take a life. It may take my lifetime. But if it can be if my grandchildren, if my children can stand on my shoulders and can take it on up, then we say it's worth it. We say it's worthy. So you come in verse 4 and you see all of this. And in verse 5 it talks about how that we're going to be places of leadership. Places of influence. Quit short selling yourself. Everybody in here, quit short selling yourself. Quit being one of these guys that's like, well, man, I'm just going to kind of do my thing and, you know, make it through life one day and all that. Stop! I promise you, He deems you more than that. He views you as significant. He views you as worthy. He views you as a leader. He views you as someone that has a story worth telling that people will not only be attracted to, but they'll follow.
I think a lot of times as Christians, we're on the defensive end of it a lot. And, you know, as you were talking about us realizing the value that we have and what we offer. And I saw that today with Noah Siegel. Victory sponsored breakfast at Bremen High School for the FCA. And Noah Siegel and another girl, I didn't catch her name, Abby, yes, led worship. And he was so, one thing I noticed, he was just on the offensive about it. It was not, you know, him, I'm a Christian, they asked me to lead, so I'm going to do it, I'm going to play my two songs. And he was free-flowing in worship at the high school football stadium. And all I could think about was, God gave me a word for Tyler Carter, which is our youth pastor, about how Victory's youth would be a place where people, it was youth coming in, and they had these torches, and they were getting their torches relit here and going back out into our community. And all I could see was Noah doing that, and he went out, and he was not on the defensive. He was on the offensive, and as he started to raise his hands, all across the crowd of students' hands started, because it gave him permission, because he said, you know what, I have value, and you are a child of God, and you have value. And I saw Casey Hardy run in to invite teachers, at a young adult, young, you know, teenager, going to invite 40-year-old women to come get a piece of this. They were on the offensive, and that's what we have to do, is what you're saying, is realize our value of what we have, and instead of keeping it holed up and just praying that I have a good life, no, I'm going to release this into you for you to have a good life, and you, and you, and you, and you, and us, just to be more proactive in that. And it was so encouraging to me to see high school students at 7 a.m. just going off and releasing so much of His presence and being on the offensive.
Errol sent me a text this morning and said, we got about 150 kids down here right now. they didn't get out of class to go to club day. That's what it was when I was in school. So everybody went to some club. They came early before school started. 150 kids. She sent me a picture of Noah, and he's down there with the guitar strapped in his neck, both hands raised, worshiping God. She said, I love it that he worships in front of his peers just like he worships in his church. And I'm like, whew. Yes. Yes. Realizing who we are in him. Here's the thing, guys, that we need to realize is that our God is not a God of lack. There is plenty to go around. There's plenty of blessing to go around. When you realize that, you'll celebrate when Jeffrey and Tammy are being blessed. Instead of saying, oh man, and all of that stuff, you know, who, golly, and everything. When they come in and they got pictures of their new tractor and all of that stuff, you say, yay, God, bless them. Because I borrowed that new tractor about 2 weeks after. It was the first time I've ever carried a tractor to a car wash when I got done. I ain't never done that before. I never got in a tractor that smelled new. It still had new tractor smell. It's kind of like new car smell. But we can't celebrate with each other because we think God is limited in His resources. And if He blesses Linda and Keith, then He can't bless me. I understand that my God is so big that He is not operating out of a place of lack. And there's enough, more than enough, for every person on the planet. Not just in our church. Not just in our church. I don't know where Abby goes to church, but I pray she goes back there with such a fire of the Holy Ghost that revival breaks loose in their church. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh my gosh, if revival breaks out, some of our members might start going up there. Not if they're married to here. Not if they're married to here. Right? Amen.
So the word tells us so much about, you know, blessings that we're going to receive and signs and wonders that we can perform. And I just wanted to make this note that this is God coming to us, telling us. These aren't just men that wrote these things down, but this is actually God's message to us. And what's so significant about that is we're told this by God, not so that we can anticipate the day we get to heaven to receive these things, but so that we can know about those things right now, so we can have those things right now, because they're ours, right? If you're going to be told something, it's because you're supposed to have known those things, right? So we know about them, and now we can have them. I just wanted to say that.
Y'all know what my goal is in the physical? Is to take every bit of my daughter's inheritance and pour it out on them right now. But yet be successful enough that when I die, there's another inheritance yet to come to them. And we live going through life that if I pour it out now, there will be nothing left. And I want to be such that I pour it out now with the full expectation that when I die, there will be another level of abundance that will be there waiting for them. I believe that. And that's not haphazard living. That's my earnest expectation and trust and hope in Him. Confidence in Him. That God's going to perform this. He's going to accomplish this. I want to come in here and I want to empty the tank every Sunday. Every Wednesday night. I want to empty the tank in here. I want to empty the tank with the full expectation that next Wednesday it's going to be reloaded and ready to go. That pump's going to be prime. It never loses prime. Never loses prime. There's enough pressure that's there. Verse 6, but you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Who's naming them the priest of the Lord? Yahweh. Priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You know the cool thing about the Levites and the priests in the Old Testament? He came in and he gave inheritance to everybody except for them. Now they got cities and they got the land around the cities, but they didn't inherit a land. You know what he said? He said, I'm their inheritance. Who got the best end of that deal? Levites. He said, they're going to be my priest, and I'm going to be their inheritance. And if he's my inheritance, I've got everything. I own all this. I own all this. You know why? Because I am a child of God. He's my Father, and I'm His Son. He calls me beloved. His delight is in me. His delight is in me. Verse 7. We didn't even finish verse 6. It says, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. I believe the Lord has it out there for us. We grow up with such a poverty mindset. Have y'all ever been around somebody that didn't have coming up when it came to food or stuff? They grew up in a whole atmosphere of lack. And you put food out before them, and they eat so fast. I see it. I won't even go with humans. I'll just go with bird dogs. You can take two bird dogs and you can put food out before them and they will eat so fast that they don't even taste the food. And the reason they're eating so fast is, number one, they're afraid another dog's going to get their food. And number two, they think if I eat fast enough, I might get some of their food. And that's from a lack mindset. But when we realize that in my Father is no lack, in His kingdom is no lack, then I can take my time, I can embrace the process, I can be last, and others can be first, and there's plenty for me. Because I am His beloved, and His delight's in me. And when we begin to operate out of that, then we celebrate other people's blessings. Then we celebrate other people's breakthroughs. I guarantee you there were some people that when they came up and they saw Lori's new car out there a week or so ago, I guarantee you there were some people's eyes. Who she thinks she is? That money could have been used to give to the whatever, fill in the blank, instead of celebrating with her. Because if y'all heard her car a month before it died, Jeffrey's like, good Lord, what's wrong with her car? I said, it's about to die. Got 187,000 miles on it. Sounds like a diesel, and it's not a diesel. And it died. But some of y'all celebrated. Some of y'all celebrated. Some of you celebrated. The ones that celebrated are living out of a place of abundance because you said, my Father has enough to bless her and bless him and bless him and bless him and still bless me. And I don't have to worry about somebody getting my food because my Father has prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. There is a place set for me. There's a chair for me. It's got Mephibosheth wrote on the back of it, and I can drag up to it and be the last one there, but ain't nobody getting my place because Daddy prepared it for me. God's got a place for you. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a blessing for you. Don't think like guys that life's going to pass you by because you're in the Blake house for 10 months. Jesse, life ain't going to pass you by because you're in the Blake house for 10 months. Don't let the enemy come in and say, man, all this stuff you value is going to be gone. God's got a place for you. God's got a table prepared for you. God's got a purpose and a plan for you. 10 months to Him is nothing. He's not like, oh my gosh, I missed my window of opportunity. He's like, I'm cool. I'm a God of abundance. I'm a God, not a God of lack. And I can perform all things. So, we'll just pause for just a second and let me work in this other thing. So don't think, guys. Don't think, because I know how the enemy talks to you. Life's passing you by. Your family's going to forget you. Your kids are going to forget you. Your wife's going to forget you. Your friends are going to forget you. The only ones that will forget you maybe are ones that God's got a place. God's got a place. And it's set and it's prepared just for you. So don't feel like while somebody else is getting blessed. I love the story of Jairus' daughter. Because I love the fact that he doesn't bail when the woman with the issue of blood comes in. He sits there and he waits. You don't hear him saying anything. You don't hear him copping an attitude. He said, man, I still got need. But I believe and I'm convinced that Jesus is big enough that he can meet her need and meet my need. He can touch her and he can touch my daughter. I'm convinced of that. And I love that. All right, what time is it?
You know, he doesn't start out in the beginning of the chapter talking about, you know, you're going to eat the riches of the Gentiles. Oh, and then if you're planted in the Lord, other things will happen. One of the very first things he talks about is being trees of righteousness, having those roots, being planted in the Lord. And if we allow that to happen in him, that's when the other things will follow. I was doing some reading on Catherine Coleman a few nights ago, and one thing, if you don't know who Catherine Coleman is, she's a minister from a long time ago and just saw miracles and signs and wonders by the thousands and thousands and thousands. And one thing, she was older when her ministry really began to kickstart, and she asked God and said, you know, God, why didn't you allow this to happen to me when I was younger? When I was younger in body, my body could handle ministering, because that's a rough ministry. I mean, I know it sounds like being a preacher might not be that hard of a job, but physically wearing on her body, ministering and praying for that many people to be healed. And she said, why didn't you allow this to happen to me when I was younger? And he said, if I would have given you this ministry, if I'd have given you this anointing when you were younger, you would have blown it. You wouldn't have been able to sustain it and walk in it. And I think it is just so important to focus on allowing ourselves to truly be planted in the Lord and truly have those roots. And that's why she was able to sustain it later, is because she had gone through all those years of the quiet time closet prayers of being planted. And what was occurring in her closet, God eventually revealed out in public. So, you know, you guys at the Blake House and even as Christians, I don't want us to grow discouraged during our planting season. Because I'm a firm believer, the signs and wonders will come. The revival that we call revival and expect to see with the powerful church services and things like that, that's a byproduct of what's happening in our heart with God.
Amen. Let's close with one verse, and I'm just going to kind of bomb you with that, and then you can just soak on that. I love this promise of God. He says, for your shame you shall have double. For confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For your shame you shall have double. The enemy wants to put shame on us. The enemy wants to put wrong identity on us. He wants to shackle us with regrets that put us in bondage and not the regrets that propel us. Every person in here, there have been points in our life where the enemy has tried to put shame on you. Some of you, it may be because of sin. Some of you, it may be by circumstances. Some of you, it may be by, man, just things that happen in our world and our economy. I see people as they go through, man, I've seen men and women that they've had their whole career tied up in something, and the economic downturn or the company gets sold or something like that, and they come in and they're like, we're doing away with your job. I've been doing this for 25, we're doing away with your job. And the enemy takes that and he puts shame on you. He does it with people that go through divorce. Whatever the circumstances, right or wrong, some of you guys in here, y'all have gone through divorce. And the enemy will kind of come in and say, you're damaged goods now. Robin, you're damaged goods because you're a divorcee. And he tries to put shame on you. But when I am a tree of righteousness, he said, there ain't no shame coming from me. There's a double portion coming from me. Double portion. Every one of us, there's some kind of circumstance. Now, I was general manager of a company before we started KST. You know what led to us starting KST? I got fired. I was general manager of a company for 29 years. We did up to $6 million of business per year, and I was a general manager. I had 50 employees under me. Because of a family disagreement, I got fired. Not only did I get fired, the sheriff came out there and evicted me from the property. I got escorted off the property by the sheriff. Ain't no lie. He said, you got 30 minutes to leave, boy. I can't even get my deer heads off a wall in 30 minutes. Out of my office. I ain't lying, guys. Sheriff patrol car. I'm like, oh snap, this is glorious. And I pastor a church. And I've been doing this for 29 years and have done a good job. You know what the enemy tries to do? Shame. 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 Had family members try to get me arrested? Shame. Didn't even want to go to a local restaurant. Like, man, I don't go out and eat. I'm out running. Everybody's wanting to know, Wayne, what's going on? I heard you ain't over there no more. Same thing can happen to you guys. He'll try to heap it on you. Man, I heard you in rehab. What's going on? I heard you in rehab. You know what that is? The shame the enemy tries to put on you, brother. It's not who you are no more than it's who I was. I never spent a minute in jail in my life. The sheriff's saying, if you don't get off this property, I'm going to haul you to jail. Dude, I ain't never been sideways with the law. I've been a good employee. I'm getting fired. My whole career. So you know what God did? He gave me double for my trouble. We started our business. And it was hard. And our credit went to Kapookies. I couldn't borrow. You know what's bad is when we need a company truck and I go into the Ford dealership and I say, I ain't got no credit, so I'm a 53-year-old man and I got to get my mama to sign so I can borrow money for a truck. That's the gospel. But the Lord said, I ain't putting that shame on you. He said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Because He knew who I was. He knew who we were. You know what we did? We stayed the course and we did the right thing. And we didn't get mad at God. And we didn't get mad at each other. And we didn't get mad at people. And we didn't get mad at circumstances. And God said, if you will embrace the process, I'm going to make something out of this. And He did. And He is. And He is. And He is. I don't even know how many employees we got now, bro. About 25. I mean, Brett don't even know. I'd have to ask Cindy how many we got. 26? Got 26 employees now. 26 people get their paycheck every week because of God's business. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. That's what the Word says. That's just part of my story. That's part of my story. You got a story too. It may not look like business. It may look like divorce. It may look like rehab. It may look like a failed sports career. It may look like a failed business career in another sense. I love to read about successful business leaders And I try to mix in one or two books every year that are not on a spiritual level, but they're on like a business level type thing. And every, nearly without exception, every one of these guys has gone through a failure of some type, usually a failure in business, and the enemy tries to throw shame on them, and they always come out saying, I got double from my trouble. And a lot of times it's not because of kingdom, it's because of hard work and doing the right thing. Just keep on. I want to tell you something. When I went and got that new Land Rover out there, my mama didn't have to go with me. Amen. Somebody ought to celebrate with me. Mama didn't have to go that time because the Lord said, I got double for your trouble. Double for your trouble. He woke me up last night. The Lord woke me up last night in the middle of the night. You know, the first thing that was on my mind when he woke me up? Tithing. How many of y'all wake up in the middle of the night thinking the first thing comes to your mind is thinking about tithing? And I tithe. You can ask Jeffrey Thompson. You can ask Gordon and they pick up the offering every week. I tithe. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night last night and he said, let's up Annie a little bit. So you know what I'm doing? I'm listening. All right, Lord. You just tell me how much. I'm listening. I'm listening. Because you know what he's saying? I'm going to give you double for your trouble. And that's not just in the economics. That's in life. That's in life. That's in your relationships. That's in your relationships. That's in redeeming your relationships. He's in the process of redeeming my finances. He's in the process of that. He might be in the process of redeeming your relationships. He might be in the process of you redeeming land or redeeming a house. He might be in the process of you redeeming a calling in your life. But he wants to redeem. And he says, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Double for your trouble. I love that promise. I love that promise. I told a guy at work today, he was talking about some things he's going through, and I'm done. Y'all can stand to your feet. I was talking to a guy at work today, and he's been going through some stuff, and some things are turning around for him in a good way. And I've been telling him the whole time, I'm like, dude, just stay the course and do the right thing. And I said, what did I tell you a month ago? I said, do the right thing that's in front of you and put your trust in God. And when you do those two things, you cannot fail. When you do the right thing that is in front of you and put your trust in God, you cannot fail. That's our thing. How hard is it to walk this thing out? It ain't hard to walk it out, guys. Just do the right thing that is in front of you. You minister to what's in front of you. You be faithful to what's in front of you. You be a good steward to what's in front of you. You love what's in front of you and put your trust in Him. And when you do that, Isaiah 61 will become a reality to you. Be faithful in these next few months. Do the right thing. Love what's in front of you. Minister to what's in front of you. Turn around and look at these guys. Man, I know they ain't pretty. They ain't none of them pretty. You're the prettiest one in the bunch, brother. You knew that all along, didn't you?
That's right.
You knew that. Amen. He amened me on that. But you just love what's in front of you, man.
That's right.
Minister to what's in front of you. Do the right thing to what's in front of you. And put your trust in Him, and you're going to come through on the other side. And He know what He's going to do. Y'all going to remember this. Everybody's going to walk out of here, and stuff's going to happen this week. And you're going to say, double for my trouble. Double for my trouble. Double for my shame. Double for the lies. Double for everything the enemy tried to shackle me with. We're going to come through on the other side, and we're going to get... See, in the Old Testament, the double portion was the ultimate blessing. But in the New Testament, it's even greater than that. Come on. New Testament, it don't stop with double portion. New Testament's from glory to glory to glory to glory. Whew. Amen. Man, y'all just chew on this stuff and let this stuff just impact you. Y'all study Isaiah 61 this week. And everybody remember Family Day Sunday? Let's just come out and let's just have a good day of fellowship and some good food, and the kids are going to play and have a big time. And, man, let's just enjoy each other, enjoy life, enjoy Him. I believe food's a gift from Him, and I want to enjoy good. I'm serious. I know food is a gift from Him, and so I just want to enjoy some good eating and all of that stuff. And let's just have an awesome day Sunday, and just pay attention to the emails. We got some other stuff, the food bank. That we're in the middle of a sponsoring. We'll be sending an email out on that, and I'll be hitting that up at all of the services. So y'all remember that, and let's sow into these boxes of food. That we can do for $5. We can do a box for $5 through Action Ministries. And so I want our church just to be big in that, okay? Let God challenge you on that. And, man, let's just step up and let's make a difference and all. Cause we can talk in theory all day long, but at the end of the day, rubber's gotta meet the road. Rubber's gotta meet the road. So, man, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you wanna dismiss us, and then the altar's open, communion's open. Man, y'all just come on down.
Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you didn't leave us here floundering, but you have the word and your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We just thank you for that, Father. I pray right now that any lies of the enemy will be torn down, that we would raise up those desolate places in our hearts and in our minds, and we would only reach out to you and your word and your truth, Father. We just seek your face and seek your peace, Father. And we know with that your joy comes. Your joy is what we need, Father. I thank you for each person here, Father. I pray you would just go with them this week and let them love that's in front of them and feel the love that you have for them, Father. Let them just right now just feel your love reach down and wrap them up in your arms, Father. We just thank you and we praise you for your Son and your Holy Spirit, for just you, God. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this time. Amen.